Welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, with your host, Hurricane H. New day, new show. Awesome topic. A lot of good stuff we're going to discuss today with an exciting guest. I mean, literally exciting. And the reason I'm saying that, you'll feel it. You'll see what I'm talking about when we get him on the floor here with us on the screen. I mean, this dude is just going to bring us a whole world where we can change literally for better. And he is really on a mission to bring this type of information resources to you. So without any further ado, I have with me someone who is from UC Berkeley, a mechanical engineer, Daniel Peckert. He is also CEO of Full Liberation Technology. And today we can address fear, doubt, and anxiety. That's right. Fear. We know about that. Doubt. I think we all experience it. And anxiety. I think this is the age of anxiety. So without any further ado, Daniel, welcome to the show, man. Come on up.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, I've spoken to Dave's and John's, and I've never spoken to a hurricane. So thank you for being my first and being gentle. And I'm jealous, frankly. I want a cool name too. You're definitely cooler than I am, but can I have a cool name too?
Dude, your name is cool. Daniel is cool, but hey, do whatever you want. Pick one.
Compared to Hurricane H, Daniel's okay. I'm happy with my first name. But I can either go by the Danimal or Delicious D. What do you think?
Danimal sounds a little bit crazier, but Delicious D sounds delicious too.
What do you think about us doing like a buddy cop show, Hurricane H and Delicious D, or at least a rap group, just something? We got to team up. You in?
I'm in. How you doing, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Amazing, man.
Should I tell them what we were discussing before the
call?
Yeah,
go for it, baby. It's fun.
The hurricane gets on and he says, how you doing? And I'm a California boy, but I spent time in Manhattan and, you know, people from Brooklyn. And it's just, I grew up in this very fake, over-the-top world of amazing. And so I appreciated his, how you doing? So then I practiced my, how you doing? And he said it was pretty good. But then I asked you to try and be a Californian and say amazing. So I did mine. How you doing? How was that from 1 to 10?
7.
All right, I'll take it. Because you're Brooklyn. You're no BS. You're not going to lie to me. All right, so now you do a California amazing. So I'll say how you doing, and then you say amazing as though you're a fake Californian. Okay, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. How you doing?
Amazing.
Ugh.
Oh boy.
I feel my issue with amazing. My issue with the word amazing is we live in a dishonest world. And also when people say amazing, it's like, first of all, you're not always amazing. Life could be hard. Life could be challenging. Statistically, you can't always be amazing. Sometimes I see women and one woman will turn to the other woman. And no matter what the woman looks like, she'll say, how do I look? And her friend will say, you look gorgeous. I'm like, there's never like, you look okay. It's, you are gorgeous. You are divine. And I'm like, you can't. Now I'm a little bit jealous because men, we don't do that. I don't walk up to my male friends. Hey, how do I look? Gorgeous. It's like, eh, you don't look like crap. So I'm a little bit jealous, but also, you know, I feel there should be a quota of how many times you can use the word amazing. Like you use it, you know, if a baby's born or there's a sunset or you win the lottery or something amazing, use it, but you should get a quota because I don't want you using amazing for like a salad or a smoothie. I just, if a smoothie is making you feel amazement, I think you're using the word wrong. So what do you think? Putting a quota on how many times people can say amazing.
Well, so let's debate that because some people say, well, you know, I like to hear that phrase. It makes sense to me. It makes me feel good. Amazing. You know, and why not, right? Some people can do that, but you're right. If you want to be real, I think that's our issue, right? People, sometimes they want to be a little too friendly and not too direct. And so you don't want to hurt people's feelings to tell them the truth. Truth hurts, as we say, right? And I think that's the problem. Like everybody wants to compliment, even if there is no compliment. You know, actually, we use that in sales. Like, you know, I use this in training. I'm like, you can't tell someone about something that is not true and expect them to have a good relationship with you. Like, you know, well, that's a great, you know, vase and it's actually broken. Well, that's a great, I don't know, art on stuff, but it's something that is completely not good. And people that they can see bullshit when it's bullshit, as you said, right? So let's be real with people.
Well, also let's be real with people because that is better. Also, people can pick up on it, certainly long term. But also, what we found is, and I'll explain this to your audience in a bit, is part of why we have fear, doubt, and anxiety is because we're, well, I'll explain it later, but basically we're not being honest with ourselves and our feelings. And yes, we're trying to be polite, but also people are just disconnected and don't want to feel. Sometimes you're not feeling amazing, but people hide it. I'm fine. Really? Oh, you're fine always? Really? I've asked people, are you fine? No, I'm not fine. People ask me how I'm doing. And sometimes I'll say, today was rough. I was sad today. And they'll think, thank you for being honest. So it's more about people being okay with being authentic and being honest and vulnerable. This was like when I was really struggling before I developed this program where I healed so much, I was in a lot of pain. And I saw the stuff on Facebook of like, I'm in Bali, amazing hot air balloons. And I just to do it, this was like 15 years ago, I just went on Facebook and I just said, hey, everybody, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm in a lot of pain right now. And I just wanted to say it, give anybody else permission. If they want to say they're in pain, because I didn't know you're out there. And I thought it might like catch on. Nobody, like they wouldn't go near it. I was like, well, that's the world. It's this avoidance of stuff. And what our research showed is this avoidance, while understandable, because who wants to feel the yuckiness? It catches up with you. And that's actually what's leading to the fear, doubt, and anxiety. I'll elaborate more on that later, but that inauthenticity, you don't get away with it. It catches up with you.
Well, thank you. And it's funny. This is true thing, right? So, same thing when someone says, how are you doing? It's like, I can't complain. Could be better. You hear that a lot. I'm like, but who the hell's going to care? Nobody listens. Nobody wants to know. It's like you expect people to have that response or at least to do something, but nobody's caring. They ask you the question that's just by a default question. It's like, just a standard response, like you said, amazing. What's amazing about today? Maybe there is something amazing, as you said, but not everything is amazing. Life is not peachy. Life comes with quite a bit of punches and, nice little hooks and, little blindside left and right, so it's kind of difficult to live through this life. It's a complex world, but it can be simple.
It is. And also the can't complain one, again, it's good to, because when we started to do real research on why people had all this fear, doubt, and anxiety, what we started to see again was this not in touch with feelings and inauthenticity, and it catches up with them. So I can't complain assumes sharing your experience is complaining. It's not complaining. You're sharing your experience. Now, if you feel unworthy and deserving of being your true self and being loved where you're at, you think explaining your difficulty is bothering people, but that's the consciousness to get their needs met. So I always tell people, like, you're not complaining. You're sharing your experience. That's not complaining. I would love to know how you're actually doing. But again, a person who's not used to taking care of themselves thinks that being honest and putting their struggles out there is bothering people, and it's not, but it's a symptom of low self-worth and feeling undeserving, which is the unconscious reason why people don't take better care of themselves, which then leads to the fear, doubt, and anxiety. I'm going all Jedi and all over the place, but these phrases, they're dangerous because they normalize this stuff. Like, I was just living in England for about 6 months, and I've lived all over the world, literally, aside from Antarctica. Penguins call me, and it's, well, everywhere it's emotionally unhealthy, but there was something as a trend, very repressed and emotionally unhealthy about the British, not all, but, and you talk to British people, they know exactly what I'm talking about. This is not a newsflash, and it's repressed. And there's that famous phrase from England, keep calm and carry on. Okay. That was when they were being bombed. So you're getting bombed, and the catchphrase is like, just repress the feelings. Like, of course that's going to catch up. If you're getting bombed, no, don't be calm. You're getting bombed. So this language normalizes unhealthy habits, And what our data showed is just like with the physical body, unhealth will catch up to you. Emotional unhealth will catch up to you. And part of the reason people are unhealthy is because the normalization of the unhealth, of the inauthenticity of. So this is why I'm pointing it. I could go on and on and on about language that is completely normalized and completely unhealthy. And we don't know we're doing it. That's why it's dangerous.
I actually think if you have more of those expressions, because you know there is a reason I like to just explore it further, because the healthy way, as you said, is to talk about your feelings. As a matter of fact, that's why we go seek help. So you can first thing that if you go to psychologist, therapist, you know, let's talk about, you know, what's up. You got to speak up. People tend to keep that inside just like a volcano until, you know, all this mumbling and stuff going on inside, and then poof, one day we have suicide, we have drug addiction, we have all kind of stuff that can be an outcome, you know, of these hidden feelings. And to your point, you know, suppressing bad things that can be like you having a bad day. You know, sometimes you talk about it, right? You got to talk about it. I love what you said. I love that thing that you did in Facebook, by the way. You know, like, hey, you know, well, you're right. The thing is that people on social media, and that's actually a common thing that you see, you're not going to see a lot of people complaining and in their bad day. They're just going to show all their great moments. I just had this discussion with someone yesterday. And unfortunately, that's just not the real world, because it makes everybody think that's the world that we live in. But it's not roses and just beautiful stuff. There is some of that, but there's realities that we have to stuff. As you said, you're being bombed. You know, you can't be calm. Yeah, maybe you can't go crazy, but you have to learn what you're doing. You have to have some action, you know, attached to this. But these things we live with, and they go through cultures, they go through society, and we have expressions all the time that people use, but they are standardized responses. It's just like robotics, like, you know, it's like a chat box. You put it in stuff, and he's like, great to hear. I mean, you know what I mean? So it's a weird thing. But I love the work that you're doing. But I want to ask a question, because I did announce in the beginning of the show that you're a mechanical engineer. What the hell is a mechanical engineer doing the work that you're doing right now? How did that transition happen?
It's a good question. And trust me, part of me didn't want to do it. I'll explain to you how it happened. So what? I am a mechanical engineer, but the work that we do, and just so it's clear to your audience, the value of what we're doing, because it's very innovative and it's not what people are used to. It's what people want, but they're not used to. So I like to be clear up front what we're doing so that you, for those that are interested, they know what we're doing so it doesn't get lost. And what we're doing is we saw that the world is struggling, and most symptoms that are holding people back, and it's what we call the funky five, which is anxiety, people-pleasing, perfectionism, procrastination, low self-confidence. And underneath that is fear, doubt. It's really just fear. However, we saw that for all those symptoms and fear in general, therapy, psychology, personal development, they give you understanding and tips and tools, but at best, it usually just manages it. You're never really free of it, or you can get it way, 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 way better, but you're looking at years. And what we developed, and I'll explain how, is a way to be free, meaning it's gone, measurably free of the fear, doubt, and anxiety and the symptoms of it, the funky five, procrastination, people-pleasing, perfectionism, anxiety, and low self-confidence, and to be free of it, meaning it's gone, and in 6 weeks. That's what we're doing, and nobody is doing that. So that's the value. If you just want to keep managing and learning and understanding your patterns, this is not for you. But if you want real fast results that are permanent and measurable so you can be free of this, that's what we do. And I know your audience is into that because they're into all sorts of physical fitness, and this is really inner fitness. But for physical fitness, it's all about results. It's measurements. How strong am I getting? What's my calorie count? What's my BMI? So your audience is results focused, but when it comes to this industry, I call it the improvement industrial complex, they don't get great results. Why are we getting these excellent results? Well, because when I was younger, my dad was a physicist and he, you know, was a scientist, and he sat me down one day and he said, you know, anybody can have a theory or an idea. He said, but it's the person that get results. That's the person that knows what they're doing, and that's the person you should trust. The results matter, is what he said. And that idea of results mattering stuck with me, so much so that I wanted to become an inventor, an engineer. to make things that work and get results. It's very satisfying. It makes the world a better place when something works. So I go to engineering school and I'm professionally trained how to look at complex problems, develop a solution, build a prototype, and then what you do, you test it, you get the results, and then you calibrate and you refine until you get something that works and works consistently. So the good news was I was trained how to make machines work, but I wasn't taught how to make life work. And so even though I could, you know, make a robot that played ping pong, I was an anxious, insecure, people-pleasing perfectionist guy with horrible low self-esteem and insecure. So yay for the robot. So like your audience, I saw my limitations and I go looking for help. So I go to the experts. I went to therapists, psychologists, coaches, gurus. I did almost every type of therapy, spirituality, lived in an ashram. I was probably in a cult. Like I spent 10 years and $100,000. And then I just one day said, what results am I getting? What's my ROI? And I said, I have tips and tools to manage it, but I'm still insecure. I'm still anxious. I'm still procrastinating. I'm not that happy. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not being the person I want to be. I'm not the person. I didn't like who I saw in the mirror. And I went, that's crap results. 10 years, $100,000. If you took your car to a mechanic and 10 years later, your mechanic just showed you how to manage the fact that your car wouldn't start, you wouldn't be like, wow, thank you, namaste. You'd be like, you aren't getting great results. But from coaches and therapists and spiritual, we just tolerate it. And all of a sudden I just was pissed. And I looked up at the heavens and whoever's up there listening, I just went like, what do you want from me? What am I missing? I know this is a test, but like, what do you want from me? Now, I didn't expect an answer. It was just a rhetorical pissed off moment. But I heard the words of what my dad said, which is results matter. And I just had to, it sort of woke me up to that this improvement industrial complex. It's well-intentioned people trying to help. But if the results that people want, which is real freedom, of this stuff to be their true, authentic, powerful selves, they're not getting great results. It's management, or when there is a solution, it's years, maybe decades. So I'm an engineer and I knew how to get results. So I had this very noble but naive idea of like, what if we could engineer and innovate something better? I'm good at that. I'm trained. So I started my own research company, Full Liberation Technology, with the goal and mission to see, could we reverse engineer, keyword engineer, a process, a system that was simple, reliable, fast, and got results. And it was so much harder than I thought, Hurricane. So it was so naive. It took 8 years and it was not going well, but that's the beauty of engineers. We are unrelenting, focused problem solvers. Look at all the innovation that you see in the world. That's engineers and scientists focused on things until they solve it. The Wright brothers were the first to flight, not because they were smarter. They built a prototype, and then for 4 years, they just tweaked it, and they optimized it, and they calibrated until one day focused problem solvers. And that's what we were. So we stuck with it. We worked with 3,000 people, 5 continents. I worked with monks in India. I worked with addicts in South Africa. We worked with entrepreneurs in Europe. We worked with professional athletes in the US. And after $1 million in research and development, we basically cracked the code. And what that is we now have an online program. It's fully automated, such that in 6 weeks, you go in there with one of the funky five, or multiples, and you go through the problem, and it's everything you need, all the tools you need, all the instructions you need. If you work the steps, you get the results. And the result is that you are measurably, because we measure it. We measure you. You're tracking your data, just like an athlete. Physical fitness is inner fitness. On our app, you're tracking. So at the end, we know that you got results. You do too. But also, because we're passionate about results, Hurricane, we don't charge you at the beginning, because we haven't gotten you a result yet. We charge you at the end when you have clear, measurable results that what you're struggling with, anxiety, procrastination, people-pleasing, perfectionism, low self-confidence, is gone and not coming back. And we do that for two reasons. One is nobody believes us. Like, because of this industry, people have spent years working on their stuff and nothing has solved it. And they've had it their whole lives and we're solving it in 6 weeks. And this industry is full of people that overpromise and underdeliver, claiming things are amazing when they're not. So people are skeptical and we know that. So we say, be skeptical, but try it because it's no risk. Go through, you only pay when you get results. So we do that so we can help more people. But also my dad told me results matter. So to be in integrity, if we don't get you results, we're not charging you. A lot of other people will. $1 trillion a year is spent globally on people getting better. And a lot of those people aren't getting great results. They'll take your money, but we don't because it's not right.
You know, I didn't know what to sign up when I asked that question. That was a big question. And you give me a huge answer. I don't even know how to dissect this, but let me try. It's pretty powerful stuff that you're talking about, Daniel. I mean, first of all, I'm just amazed that, you know, and I mean it now. It's not amazing. It is amazing work because of what you took, you know, in terms of time, diligence, and investment, and really, you know, taking it from scratch. I mean, first you experience yourself, you know, your own problems and your own things, and they try to fix them, but it didn't work. And you're right. I mean, when you spend that kind of money and you don't get results, that's a problem. I mean, I'm in sales, so we're all about results, right? It's all about performance. So I get it. I mean, and you mentioned keyword ROI. Anyone that's listening, return on investment is the key for investors, for business, for everything. So you want to be able to always see what you spend on, you know, your money, your time, your values. You want to get back something in return and you want to see it in a measurable way. I mean, we often hear the word like the acronym SMART, right? When you do strategy and business and whatever tactical stuff, you know, specific, measurable, all that. So it's important to have the results driven. So you've done that, but you've done it in an area that is, as you said, very rich in information and availability of services. But I have to say, 6 weeks is almost like unheard of. I mean, that's not a lot of time to get someone in, to get someone out, and they actually change people, literally. Like, you know, they come in with a super problem or multiples, as you said, and then they come out like on the other side, like, what the hell just happened? I'm a new person right now. I can see the world differently. It's like basically transforming people from one side to the other. Now, I love your background of engineer. And by the way, you can get robots to do things. That was amazing. You know, but you know, engineers are engineers. They operate different. I've talked to a few. You guys, just your mind works differently. As you said, you're focused. You get your stuff done. You're relentless. You get started on something, you're gonna find a solution. I mean, For example, I love NASA and the work that they do and all the stuff. And, you know, I've been there a couple of times. And I've, you know, seen the work and the history and how they are literally in one program they can work on for years and years to solve one small problem to get it done. I think the first program, Apollo, whatever, they had a disaster first, and then it took 12 years to figure out the problem. They, you know, they would do it. So that's an amazing thing and characteristic of engineers. But you took it from the mechanical world into the human world. I mean, literally, you went from machines to humans and applied some of the concepts and the constructs. And I think, you know, whatever it is, you did the studies, the research. And again, that's pretty much, you know, a lot of money that you spent there and thousands of people to do research with. But you got the results. Now, what was the stuff that you were looking for really in your study? I mean, because that's you need to know, like, literally what is you wanted to solve for. Are these things for fear, anxiety, and doubt primarily, or just the problems that people are having in general?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, thank you for the appreciation. And I will say, it is amazing what we've done. And I appreciated what we did. I was proud of it. I was talking to a client, it was about a year ago. He came in, he had anxiety and a lot of procrastination. And, you know, like a lot of people, skeptical 6 weeks, but he had met somebody at work who he knew had anxiety and panic attacks and procrastination. And he saw that guy who was just constantly procrastination just stopped. He worked all day. And he also, one of the things we measure is how many hours, when people say, how do you measure it? So for procrastination, there's a couple of emotional biomarkers. One is, how many hours per day are you doing the thing that matters to you and that you want to be doing? Like that's trackable. So for this guy, it started with about 10 minutes per day. And by the week five, he was at about 4 hours per day. That's what the data showed. But his friend saw that. But also, you can measure focus because procrastinators get distracted very quickly. And so his focus time he was able to stay focused for about 7 minutes in the beginning. And by the end of the program, he was able to work for 90 minutes in a row, focused workflow. So that's A, that was, so the guy who spoke to me and said, I'm skeptical that he was seeing that happen. But I'm also explaining to you, when people say, how do you measure this stuff? These are what, how we measure all the symptoms that we work on have measurable 1 to 10 scales in time. And so we measure. So anyway, this guy saw his friends, just productivity shoot up, his happiness shot up. He felt more fulfilled. He was getting more stuff done and he's happier. So he saw the result and he found out that we only charge at the end. So he's like, I'm skeptical, but I'm intrigued. So I start telling him my story and I was like, yeah, it was 8 years. And I spent 2 years working with addicts in South Africa. And he said, wait, what? He said, you spent? I said, yeah, well, that was a way for us to get a lot of data and work with a lot of people and collect measurable results. The South African government saw what we were doing and they were backing our research. And he said, that's really amazing. He said, a lot of people see the world struggling. Not everyone stops what they're doing and just goes and moves to Africa to go do that. And I was like, oh, that is amazing. I'm a focused problem solver, so it's in my DNA, but it is amazing. And I'm also pointing it out because I was a notorious people pleaser, compliment deflector, but now I've healed that part of me, which is part of what we help people with. And so I totally receive your compliment. What we've done is amazing, and I'm amazing, and I receive your compliment.
You know,
thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And frankly, you deserve it. And you know, when you do the work, and you can see the accomplishments, right? And you can see the results. You know, there's nothing not to be proud of. I mean, we're supposed to actually give ourselves, you know, a tap on the shoulder and stuff. I mean, sometimes we don't do that. Like, you know, we try to be like, I'm cool and I'm humble and modest. That's fine. But that doesn't mean that you cannot celebrate you and celebrate your success and the work you do and the results and the achievements. I mean, the fact that we're doing this show, for example, right? We're going to touch lives. You're doing this. As you and I, we talked before the show. The work you do is important. You're going to help people, and many people are going to change their lives for better. And when someone changes their life, they don't just change their life. They change the life of everybody around them and anybody that they impact in their course of life. That's the thing. It's not a one-person deal. It's the environment that's being shifted one at a time, and then it just spreads out. So that's so it deserves, you know, a good compliment. That's one. Now, the other thing I wanted to just highlight is that your concept or model is in a way unique, because you don't hear a lot of businesses and service-driven businesses like, oh, you know what, try our services, you know, and then, you know, you'll pay us at the end. I mean, they give you free trials and things like that, some services, but it's not the same. You know, it's not when, you know, you get in the program, if you don't see the results, well, it doesn't work. You don't have to pay. If you see the results, we pay. And I'm not sure if that's exactly how it works. But the fact of the matter, like, you're almost given a guarantee that you have a confidence that in your program, once you get in, you will, by 6 weeks, see a difference in you. You will see the change. You will.
It is. No, we are confident. Sorry to interrupt. It is a guarantee.
No, it's good.
Now, we're the only ones. I'm telling you, there's a million therapists and coaches globally, a million. To our knowledge, we're the only ones that track numerically results and you pay at the end when you have the only one. But here's why, and this is why it makes more sense. Why don't they track results and guarantee results? A mechanic lets you pay at the end after they fixed your car. But even a personal trainer, you know, they're going to measure results. So why are all these experts? Why don't they measure results, and why don't they back up their results? Why do you think that is?
They haven't figured out the code? They haven't cracked the code, as you said?
Yeah, they don't get the results. So you can't run a business model on that because you'd go out of business. So the reason I'm bringing this up is the reason we figure this out, I'll explain the theory on how it's even possible. It's because they're not focused on a solution. Therapists, coaches, psychologists, they are learner sharers, which means whether you're a therapist, a coach, a spiritual teacher, you learn something either from your experience or from a school or a teacher, you learn something that helps you manage, and then you share it. Okay, great. There's value in that. It creates understanding. And for management, it's not bad. They are learners, sharers, and they're focused on the inner world. Our feelings, our emotions, our ego, our mindset. So learners, sharers are on the inside. But learners, sharers aren't trained Jedi-level focused problem solvers. That's the engineers and scientists. But they're not focused on the inside. They're focused on the outside. And how do we know? Look at all the innovation. That's all engineers and scientists focused on. There's a hurricane. There's a helicopter on Mars right now. Are you kidding me? They, first of all, they put a rover on Mars. Incredible. Problem solved. Then it lasts for years. And then somebody was like, you know what? We only have cameras at service level. We need a higher end view. And someone was like, helicopter. And someone said, let's do it. That is the power of when you put engineers focused on the external world. That's what they do. But those people aren't, they're focused on the outside. They're getting great results on the outside, but they're not. So the learner sharers are not interested or equipped to problem solve or innovate. They're focused on the inside where the problem is. The problem solvers are focused on the outside. I don't know what my karma is, what God chose me to be. I am this weird little bizarre little unicorn Venn diagram of trained problem solving innovator that happened to look on the inside, and that little overlap of those two circles is yours truly. And that's why we were able to do it. Problem solvers don't share. Edison had 1,000 patents. He wrote 0 books. He didn't want to share. He wants to get shit done. Okay. So the problem solvers aren't focused on the inside. We were, and that's why we got the job done. That's why this is possible. It's not, you said earlier, like 6 weeks, come on. Well, yes, because what we do is innovative. That's what engineers do. We innovate solutions. So if you went to a person in the 1700s and said you can get across the US in 4 hours, they'd say too good to be true. But of course, it's not too good to be true. It's an innovation done by engineers, which is an airplane. So what we've done is innovative. It sounds too good to be true because all innovations in the beginning are, but guess who innovates? Engineers. So I get it feels too good to be true, but can you at least see that if innovators focused on the inside, maybe it's not too good to be true?
Actually, I listen, when I say it that way, I don't mean it in a way that is bad. I really believe that you've done something terrific, amazing. And it is, I mean, first, if you want to call it that way, because as you said, you kind of got both worlds and kind of filled that gap, as you said, that's that inner circle, that just basically the intersection of both worlds. And you came up with this whole concept that is workable, that is clear cut. And it is, as you said, an innovation in its own, and no one can doubt it. Because as you said, there is room for everyone, right? Like, as you said, those guys that are focused on the outside, the ones that are focused on the inside, but you can match that in. And I think you did a marriage of both in your concept where really you have the ability to take someone, address all the core issues, and be able to show them at the end that, you know what, you are starting here. This is where you are, as you said. But great example, 7 minutes focus to 90 minutes focus. That's a huge improvement, I'd say. I mean, anyone can claim that as a good, you know, outcome in a process, right? And those are things that you don't usually get. As you said, it is difficult to, for example, we talked about fitness, right? You can see some measurable stuff. People start slimming down, and, you know, they get a lean cut. But again, that's only if the person applies correctly and stuff, and it could be taken. Nobody can tell. I'm going to transfer in 2 weeks. You're going to be like literally like slim. I mean, there's without hurting yourself. That's probably not a guarantee. No one can give you that one, right? Because I can train you all you want. Trust me, I know this world well because I've been in the fitness world myself. You can train people as much as you want, but they go home and they eat all the stuff that they're not supposed to eat. And then the next day, like, I'm not seeing results. Well, are you really applying? But you see, like, as a trainer or someone that's actually trying to help them, we're not helping them all the way through the process. You're helping them through the process. You start, you begin, you finish, and you have results. But then you put your signature to it, your seal of proof that you will be transformed. And that's something that is, again, as you said, not only it's rare, I mean, I'll take your word for it. You said there's none. And I don't have a reason not to doubt you. And I don't think we're going to talk about that shortly. You know, so now that we've established this, we've established that you've cracked the code, you've been able to create this system that is unique. There's none to it. Now, there's always a possibility someone can copy it, but that's another story. We can talk about that and how you keeping the formula, you know, of success and the secret sauce, you know, to yourselves. There's a possibility, you know, there's someone can like, hey, well, listen, because, you know, as you said, the Wright brothers did one thing. Now there's many other companies and people that actually came after, but it's the duplicates, right? The replicas. They're not the original.
I want to interrupt you because you just said something that doesn't get brought up very often, and I want to address it because I think it's important. Okay. What we discovered, and I'm going to explain to your audience the blueprint of how it's possible. I have no problem sharing the secret sauce. It's not secret. It's actually dead simple, sitting right under everybody's nose. It's just that the experts regurgitate old symptom management information. They weren't looking for it. There is historical precedence where simple solutions were sitting right under everybody's nose, but the experts weren't looking for it. One of the inspirations why I even started my company is because when I was younger, my mom was a nurse, and she told me the story of Florence Nightingale, who was this nurse, British nurse in the 1850s during the Crimean War. And she saw more soldiers were dying in recovery than in the battlefield. And she just has a problem with this. So she goes to the experts, the doctors and the generals, and says, like, hey, this is an issue. And they were just complacent. They said, it's just part of war. Don't worry about it. But she did care. Like, we cared. She saw this as a bad result. And so she just paid attention. And because she wasn't an expert, she was free to just pay attention and see what was going on. And she figured out that it's the hygiene. You need to put that there was infection. And if we move the soldiers away from the toilets, we clean their bandages, and we open the windows, that simple solution, basically hygiene, the death rate dropped by 99%. Simple thing sitting right under everybody's nose, but she saw it because she cared and she wasn't an expert. And so she went in and just saw what was happening. But even when that happened and she went with data, because people reject simple and they're not used to it and they don't like it and we're taught that things are complicated, her data was dismissed early on. Fortunately, she stuck with it and went above, but it took time for it to catch on. So there is total precedence in the physical body and innovations that the simple thing is sitting right under everybody's nose. What we discovered is simple, and we want it to spread, because if people don't know this, this is why the world is in pain, because the expert missed the simple thing. So we don't care if people copy what we do. Our mission is to get this into schools, colleges, prisons, because it's simple. It's inner health that's easy and doable. I've taught this curriculum to 9-year-olds, and that's the power of it. We want it out there. You want to rip off what we do? I am happy with it. In 30 years from now, I want what we teach to be common knowledge. You got to get enough sleep. You got to brush and floss. That's common knowledge. The emotional health that we teach, I want it to be common knowledge. So please come steal what we do, because it means it's out there and the world isn't in as much pain. And we give our program away for free all the time. If people can't afford it, we're like, look, just take it, be better. So we want it to spread. And just as I'm on this topic, to help this spread, because of the skepticism, you may not be skeptical, but most people are skeptical for understandable reasons and have doubt. We are not experts. Now, that's a good thing, because we could see what the experts missed. However, people don't believe us. And what we would love is a clinical trial. We would love it if a researcher, a doctor, somebody with credentials would work with us to run a real large-scale clinical trial that we could publish and have real data to share with people, to show that what we're doing is not too good to be true. It's an innovation, and we have the results to back it up.
Oh, so on that note, I might have someone that I can potentially refer and connect you with that may be interested in that, because I believe that, you know, it's a couple that is extraordinary, you know, people that want to do the best for the world as well. And they're in the world of psychiatry and things. And so they can literally vouch for this and they can do a research. So maybe there's an opportunity. I can't speak for them, but certainly I will share with them, you know, the value in the discussion, and maybe you guys can take it from there. Because they can, they can deliver. I mean, on that. If anybody I know can do it, they're the ones. And they actually did exactly what you did. Went around the world. They did a lot of studies, you know, in different places to get some data, and they're about measurable stuff as well. So I think there might be a synergy there that can be connected. Listen, there's nothing that makes me happier than when people come together for a common cause and help people. And I think this world needs more of this. The more people that are out there to help and service and change folks for the better. And the best thing to change people first is their health and their mind, you know, mindset and their mind, the mental capacities and things like that. That's what we all start, you know, kind of have a shortage of. You know, I think that's the problem. It's a human thing. Today, we live in a very high-paced, stressful society. We have bad nutrition. I mean, it's just bad across the board. Plus, the information that we get from the news and stuff, it's all sad stuff. And it's affecting us day in and day out. So if we can make people transform their lives, be better, and get rid of all those, you know, bad habits that they have, the five, you know, stooges. I mean, there are three stooges, but in this case, we'll make them five. You know, so we'll change that, you know, to a better with your formula. And I love what you said. You're not fearful about sharing your value and your secret sauce and your message and stuff. Matter of fact, you're on the contrary. You want that. You want as many people. You want to basically inject everyone with this great type of medicine that is going to solve the life of everyone and give them the energy to live a better life and a happier life.
Absolutely. And do you want me to share the secret sauce right now just so everybody knows it?
Go for it.
All right. So I'm going to tell your audience, again, I'm telling your audience this one so people have this information. Like Florence Nightingale figured out, oh, we have to have better hygiene and recovery or people are going to die. Like because without that, people are dying. And that took 30 years to catch on. And a lot of people died unnecessarily. So I'm trying to get this out to the world. Whether you want to come to us to help you implement it, I don't care. I need people to know this for two reasons. One is so you know what works and how to be happier faster. Two, so you understand and are educated why all the things that you have tried have not solved anything. Why? Because when you try things and you fail, you blame yourself and you think it's your fault and there's something wrong with you. That's how I felt. There is nothing wrong with you. You are not broken. It's that the experts that you trusted had an incomplete model of understanding and were not equipped, trained, or motivated to solve it. That's why you're stuck with the symptoms. It's not your fault. It's the experts you trusted. And I'll show you what works so you can look back and see what you've tried and go, oh, man, that was never going to work to begin with. So the reason we solve this, again, we're engineers. So one is we're focused on a solution. And when you focus on a solution, it's just a very different approach. You're not regurgitating old stuff because we looked at all the old stuff and it's not getting the job done. Anxiety's on the rise. Addiction's on the rise. People taking their own life is on the rise. That stuff's getting worse. That's bad results. So the last thing we're going to do is regurgitate what sometimes people say, is it hypnosis? I'm like, if hypnosis would have got the job done, we wouldn't be in this. Is it breath work? I'm like, if breath work would have solved this, we wouldn't be. No, it's not. We innovated something new. And the reason we innovated is because we were looking at it through the filter of solution versus other people, which is primarily regurgitation of symptom management. And we approached it mechanically. This is key. Almost everything else out on the market is approaching the funky five spiritually and psychologically. Now, spirituality and psychology is great to give you an understanding, a paradigm. It's your mindset. It's your ego. It's your limiting behaviors. It's your past. These are constructs to kind of shine a flashlight onto what's going on to give you some idea. And there's value in that. There's a value in a flashlight. And if the understanding solves it, great. But it doesn't. So what solves things, if you want a fast, effective, consistent solution that gets permanent results, you don't want spiritual or psychological. What you want is mechanical. If you're choking and two people walk up to you and one person says, wow, I can see you struggling. I think you have a real scarcity mindset around air. I think you're really focusing on the lack of air instead of all the abundance of air that's out there. And also, I feel like you're telling yourself a story that you need to breathe and you need to live and your ego is getting in the way. So if you could just like, let it go, let go of the story, let it go. Or somebody walks up and goes, look, this is real clear. You have a windpipe. It is mechanically blocked and you're about to die. That's what you're feeling. It's not a story. It's not a scarcity mindset. You are dying. I'm going to add pressure to your stomach that will put air pressure behind the Chipotle and pop it out. And in about 10 seconds, you will be able to breathe. In that situation, if you want a fast, effective solution, do you want mechanical or psychological and spiritual?
Mechanical works, man.
Why?
That's a perfect, because it's very simple, straight to the point. You get the results done. Again, we go back to the source, right? To the main topic. It's not theoretical, it's real.
It's not theoretical. It's real. Mechanical means this is connected to this. If you do this, this will happen. Your physical fitness, that's all mechanical. If you lift weights, you break down the muscle mechanically. The acids go in, the muscle breaks down, and then it mechanically comes back stronger. That's all mechanics. Weight loss, burning calories. It's all mechanics. If you want to lose weight, burn more calories than you. It's all mechanics. It's all reliable. It's all consistent. So mechanics, that's how we do things. So then the question is, how do we solve this mechanically? Everyone else is doing it spiritually and psychologically. It's a flashlight. It's not an escape plan. So here's what's mechanically going on with your audience that they don't understand, but we figured out because we were like, we got to figure make this mechanical and simple and effective. So here's what we first saw. And again, I'm condensing 8 years of research into like 20 minutes. Okay. Whether you have anxiety, procrastination, people-pleasing, perfectionism, or low self-confidence, you do not have individual problems. That's what you're told. That's how it feels. You do not have multiple problems. You have multiple symptoms of one thing, which is fear. If you're really afraid, you might call that fear feeling anxious. But that's just a name to call being very afraid. You could call it perfectionism, or you could say you're afraid to make a mistake. You could call it procrastination, or you could say you're afraid to start and finish things. You could say you're a people pleaser, or you could say you're afraid people won't like you, so you need everyone to be pleased with you. You could say you have low self-confidence, or you could say you're afraid to be your true self. So just to simplify what's going on here, can you see that people don't have multiple problems, they have symptoms of one mechanical thing, fear. Can you see that?
Well, I'm lucid, baby. I mean, you brought it down to the simplest way. I mean, you can't get better than this. You know, when I hear you say it, I mean, it's like, literally, I mean, it's as crystal clear. I mean, you're right. Each one of those you define is really a fear in the back. So they're really symptoms of the same common thing. So one common denominator, the fear, is really what we all have it coming.
But what's interesting is right when I said it, you're like, oh yeah, of course, this fear is underneath. It's simple. But here's the problem. Because that's not the approach, the experts are telling you fix the problem. But those are symptoms. You can't solve a symptom. That's why they keep making money and you keep coming back, because they label it a problem. They keep you focused on the symptom. You can never solve a symptom. The best you can do is manage it. So we were engineers. We want a solution. We're like, this is all fear. Now, there are people that understand that fear is part of this. Your audience knows they're afraid. But then we looked at the industry. Overcome the fear, face the fear, change your mindset around fear, hypnotize yourself around the fear. It'll help you manage the fear. But they never got rid of it. You can overcome fear. It's still there. This guy helped me overcome fear. I could do it for about 5 minutes, but the fear was still there. If you change your negative mindset to a positive mindset, you can do it temporarily, but then it goes back to negative. So we're like, we got to get to the root cause. People know about fear. Of course, we didn't come up with that, but people were managing fear. So we said, we got to understand fear in a simple mechanical way and a solution. So we went looking for it. And again, the answer is pretty obvious. First of all, we saw that the experts are sending you to the wrong location. We are taught that fear is a problem in the mind. Anxiety is a problem in the mind. Change your mindset. Change your scarcity mindset. Quiet your negative thinking. Stop your catastrophizing. The story in your mind. Quiet your ego. It's called mental health. It's got the word mental right in there. So everyone is being sent to the mind. Now, the mind is part of it. The mind can say some horrible negative things. It does affect you. One problem. It's not the cause. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of where fear is actually coming from, meaning where it actually starts. It starts in the body. Nobody says, I think anxious. I feel anxious in your throat, your chest, your heart, your stomach. You feel fear in your body first, and then it spreads to the mind second. Not theory, mechanics. We are engineered such that your body senses what the body needs, and then the mind is a tool to get the body what it needs. You feel hunger first, then you go looking for food. If you are in the jungle and you hear a noise, you feel fear first, then your mind is a little computer to try and find an escape plan. Have you ever noticed that when you're calmer, usually your mind is quieter. When you're feeling more fear and anxious, your mind amps up, because your mind is a symptom of the body, not theory. When we started to develop our program, and I was one of the first test cases, my body went calm. When my body went calm, my mind just shut off, because there's no problem for the mind to solve. People say, well, like, would you meditate? Is it like, no, the body's calm, so the mind shuts off. So your audience doesn't know this. So they spent their whole life focusing on the mind. That's a symptom. The expert sent you literally to the wrong place. That's why you still have this. Not because you're broken, there's anything wrong with it. They sent you to the wrong location. We found the actual correct mechanical location is the body. If you calm the body, the fear in the body, the fear in the mind goes quiet. My mind has been quiet as a church mouse for 10 years. My mind used to scream at me negativity, called me unlovably ugly, which is just all like, there's ugly and there's unlovable. I used to tell myself unlovably ugly. Now my mind is quiet. It's like a meadow in there. And when it does talk to me, it says nice things. I'm 51. I'm losing my hair. I got wrinkles. Today I looked in the mirror and I was like, I do me. I fucking adore myself. So that is the result of going to the actual root cause, which is the body. Now I'm going to explain to you where in the body and why the body is afraid. But first, what are your thoughts, or do you have any questions?
Oh, man, I'm absorbing this stuff, and I get it. I mean, you're right. I mean, the more I listen to you, again, as you said, it's KISS, really, keep it simple, stupid, whatever the expression goes. It is in front of us all the time. And you're right. The more you're talking, it's the mind, you know, is really reacting to the body. But the fear is really, we're afraid to get hurt. We're afraid to get the pain. You know, typically, that's what it is. It's more of that than anything else. I mean, literally, if you close your eyes and you're on a cliff, you're not going to know that you're a cliff. You're not going to be fearful, right? You know, it's that kind of thing. So you only are afraid because you start worrying about the damage you're going to have. At least that's how I'm seeing. But I guess the core of this is really a physical reaction is going to trigger the rest of it. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, that's what you're getting. And it's 100% true. It's just that's not what's thought. Now, some people do know it's body first, mind second. There are books. There's a famous book called The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk. There's a famous gentleman in Canada called Gabor Maté. There are people that are waking up and paying attention in the mental health community that realize it's not mental, it's in the body. Now, that's the good news. It's in the minority, but I'm not the only one. It's also common sense. You do meditation is you calm your breathing and your mind quiets. Breath work. Now it's temporary, but it cannot the other way around. The problem with Bessel van der Kolk and Gabor Maté, and I'm not experts on their work, is they know the what. They've identified what the problem is. There's a lot of people that are paying attention to know what the problem is. It's in the body. What they didn't build, and which took 8 years, is the how. 6 weeks, step by step. That's the big innovation. Not the what, not the theory, the how. And the other innovation is the system that we develop. That's what gets the results. Not the theory, the system. And I want your audience to understand this, one, so they realize what they needed was a system all along and they never got it, and why a system works. So systems are great because they make complex things simple and easy to follow. Now, what is a system? Well, there's different definitions, but here's what we found out. If you want fast, consistent, reliable change, you need multiple tools designed to get one specific job done. Okay, if you hire a contractor to rebuild your house and he walks up or she walks up with one hammer and says, I got a hammer, I got one tool, I'm really good with it, I got a tool. Are you going to trust that they can get the job done quickly if they've got one tool?
Of course not.
Why?
It's complex. I mean, the house requires a lot more than just one tool. I mean, you can saws, you need other things, right? I'm assuming that's just how I'm looking at it.
That's it. There's multiple things. There's plumbing, there's sheetrock, there's paint. You need a set of tools, but not just any tools. You don't want a flamethrower. You've got a specialized toolkit. And by the way, if you're a contractor and a flamethrower, that is not good branding. But my point is, you have a specialized toolkit that's been optimized to work together. A dentist has dentist tools. A surgeon has surgical tools. So you need an optimized toolkit that's been designed to work together to get one job done. However, when people go looking for help, that's not what they get. They go to one expert who gives them like one tool. They go to another expert who gives them another tool. That's fine for management, but it will never Get the job done. And that's why your audience has failed, because the experts hand out individual tools when you need a comprehensive toolkit that's been tested to work together. That's what we developed. That's what took 8 years, figuring out, okay, we need this one and that one. Okay, what else do we need to add until it gets the job done? So thing number one in the system is you have all the tools in one place, but that's not enough. You need one more thing, because let's say you have a friend who tastes a chocolate chip cookie and they think, I want a chocolate chip cookie. And you give them everything they need, all the tools and all the ingredients to get the job done. But they do not know how to bake. They have no idea. Even though they have all the tools and ingredients, will they be able to successfully, consistently make a good chocolate chip cookie?
No, they won't.
Why not? What are they lacking?
Well, the know-how, the actual application of it, the action of putting it together.
Yeah, and there's no instructions. They need instructions. What to do, in what order, for how long, at what amount. Temperature on the oven. Start with flour, add the water. You don't just throw the water in the oven. Like, you need instructions. You need a plan that's been tested. IKEA furniture gives you instructions. Legos give you instructions. But the experts just basically give you a tool and say, good luck. And then you fail. You get confused. What do I do? When and what order? So what we spent 8 years doing is, first of all, we got the toolkit down, but then laying it all out in very simple, easy to follow instructions. Day one, do this amount of times for this long. Day two, do this for this amount of time for this long. That's the key. That's what you need. You need all the tools in one place and simple, keyword simple, easy to follow instructions to make it so you can't fail. People say, how do you get a 90% success rate? How do you get charged at the end? Like, that's impossible. No, that's impossible based on what you tried, which is like one tool and no ingredients in the wrong location. But if you're in the right location with an optimized toolkit in the right place and simple, easy to follow instructions such that you work the results, you get the results. It's not that what we're doing is too good to be true. It's that what the experts gave you was too inefficient to work. Make sense?
Very. And frankly, I can relate to it. I mean, I've done some consulting over the years, and it's the same thing. You can come in and give him all the blueprint, the roadmap, all the steps and everything else. And, you know, sometimes they cannot do it unless somebody comes in, you know, and really puts, you know, the act. And by the way, sometimes even with the instructions, they still don't do it, because the people that are taking the instruction, they don't know how to kind of process the instruction to work with it. So it's a little bit more dicier than that. I mean, in your case, it's simple. I mean, once you give them the formula, the date, the measurement, the step-by-step, the time frame, the whole nine, I mean, they cannot fail that one, because they have to just follow the exact steps and they'll do
it. But let me interrupt. You said something very important. They cannot fail. The reason we get a 90% success rate is because we didn't want to build it just for certain people, or you had to be incredible at this. No, the average person, we want it to work for everybody. So the reason we get paid at the end is our success is your success. We want you to succeed, but we also don't want you to fail, because I remember trying things and failing and then feeling worse about myself. And the last thing we want you to do is feel worse. That's the danger of what these experts share, is people fail and feel worse and lose hope. So we've spent so much time going in there and looking at any place where you could get confused or lost and make sure you can't fail. It's also laid out so that in the beginning, it's very simple. You can't not do it. It's impossible. I had a guy come in who had a bad attitude. He said, look, man, I've had anxiety and people pleasing my whole life and low self-esteem. I have spent well over six figures. Nothing made a dent. I think your whole industry is corrupt and I don't believe you. I said, why are you here? He said, well, I met someone, you know, at a conference and they said that you charge at the end when you get results. And I went, all right, well, that is intriguing. You can't fake that. So I'm here. And he said, but I don't think it's going to work. But if it does work, I get my life back. I get to be joyful and authentic. So it's worth a shot. I was like, exactly. It's worth a shot. He had a bad attitude. Went in. Third week in, he sends me this message. He's like, this is incredible. He said, I didn't even want this to work. I wanted it to not work so that I could be right and convince myself that you were just another fraud. And first of all, it worked even when I had a bad attitude. He said, that's impressive. Secondly, I was wrong. This is real. And I'm telling all my friends. So do you out there who think, well, maybe it works for other people, it won't work for me. No. What was I doing in Africa? What was I doing in India? What was I doing traveling the planet, working with all different cultures, peoples, backgrounds, ages, making sure that if you work these steps, you will get the results. Now, that said, even though this works for pretty much everyone, most people won't do what we're going to do because they have the same mindset that it's got to be complicated. I'm too messed up. It's going to take forever. And this isn't possible. So the people we work are skeptical, but open. It's like 1 in 1,000. To the 1 in 1,000 in your audience is listening. I'm talking to you. Listen, follow that intuition. Follow the remarkable offer of you pay at the end and how different that is. And that 1 in 1,000 person is motivated because, yes, they're skeptical. Yes, they have doubt, but they see what's possible. So if you're listening to this and you want to be free of anxiety so that you can just wake up every day looking forward to the day and you're not looking over your shoulders and you get back to doing what you love, if you are motivated by that so much that you're willing to do something that you're skeptical about, if you procrastinate and you're not doing what you love, you're not bringing value to the world, and you like don't like who you see in the mirror, and you'd like to just be free of the procrastination so you can get lots of work done and that matters to you so you're fulfilled and make more money and you're proud of yourself, we help people with that every day. We can get you that. If you're a people pleaser and you're like, oh, why? Just, I want to, you know I need to put myself first. And you can manage it and you have tips, but you want to be free of it so that you can put yourself first, make yourself a priority, and be the full authentic you. We help people with that every day. If you're a low self-esteem, we get this. I just helped a kid, 23 years old, terrified of women, hadn't had a date in 2 years. And he's like, I've tried stuff. I'm young, but I've tried a lot of stuff. It doesn't work. I just saw in his reports, because we get data, but we also tell how they're doing. He just explained that he had his first date in 2 years. He walked up to the girl, chatted her up. She said yes. They went on their first date. They slow danced under the moon and he planted the first kiss. This all happened in 24 hours. And he said, Daniel, that's not even the cool part. The cool part is I wasn't afraid. That's the cool part. The fear was gone. So if the idea of having the symptoms of fear, but also the fear gone, allows you to be the full, true, authentic you so you can be happier. If you are motivated by that enough, those are the people that work with us. Those are the people who reach out to us. It's not for everyone. I wish more people reached out to us, but it's like 1 in 1,000.
Well, I think people will catch on to it because I think I can see a lot of more practical places and, you know, people that can benefit from this. I mean, one of the biggest fears that we know of is fear of public speaking. And a lot of corporate people need to speak up and stand in front of, you know, audiences or present to a board and so on and so forth. This 6 weeks training, I mean, program can literally change someone from being super shy and not being able to stand and do all the stuff that they need to do to a successful entrepreneur, you know, at the end of it, because now they have no fear to do the stuff. I can see a
exactly.
lot more.
Exactly. And the way it changes your life is not only are you able to do what you want to do, you enjoy it more. A gentleman came to us for fear of public speaking. He said, you know, I work with this coach and he gave me some strategies so I can manage the fear and deliver the talk. And I was like, that's great. I said, but the fear is there. He's like, oh yeah, no, it's there. So I explained how our modeled work works. And he said, oh my God, if that works, that would be incredible. So he went through our program around week 5. His fear of public speaking went from, I think, like a 9.5 out of 10 down to about a 4. It was manageable. Now that turns into excitement at that point. So he gets on stage and he gives the talk. Now, not only did he give the talk without the fear, but I said, how was it? He said, it was incredible. I enjoyed myself for the first time because I was present. I wasn't terrified. Also, I was sharing from my heart, which I couldn't do before when you're afraid. I was more spontaneous and playful. People felt the true me and we made much better sales, but also I enjoyed it more. That's the value when you move from symptom management to full liberation. And here's why this is possible. It's because fear of public speaking is just any fear. It's coming from the body, specifically the nervous system. How do we know? It's a system in the body and it's got the word nervous right in there. You think this is complicated. It's simple. There's a system in the body called the nervous system. Everyone's afraid. You'd think the experts would have gone looking at the nervous system, but instead of looking at the nervous system, they were like, this is a problem with the mind. No, it's not. I sounded like Jerry Seinfeld right there. No, it's not. Pay attention.
That was good.
That was crazy. So anyway, The fear is coming from your nervous system. Your nervous system is your body's mechanical threat response system. If your nervous system senses a threat, it mechanically, you will feel unsafe. When you feel unsafe, you will feel fear. When you feel fear, you will then do one of the funky five, a symptom of fear. So what you're experiencing are symptoms of a misregulated, unhealthy, out of balance, unhealthy nervous system, the result of which you feel unsafe, which makes you afraid, and then creates the symptoms of fear. So what we figured out is, why is the nervous system misregulated, making people feel unsafe in a way that makes it easy and quickly to solve? And here's what's making your nervous system. It is not your past. It is not society. It is not COVID. It is not the economy. It is not social media. It is you. Unbeknownst to you, you, unknowingly to you, are doing little things every day that are making you feel unsafe within yourself. Now, it's hard to take that in. So we'll do an example that's easier to see, okay? Let's say we're friends, all right? But all of a sudden, I'm a bad friend to you. I'm unkind to you. I'm mean to you. I'm critical of you. When you need me, I'm not there for you. I put everybody else first and you're dead last. And when you're really in trouble, I'm not only not there for you, I criticize you. If I treat you that way for a while, do you feel safe or unsafe?
Unsafe.
Yeah. And the reason you feel unsafe is because if I give you poor care, it breaks trust. When you don't trust, you feel unsafe. Okay. But the beauty of mechanics is, if you can move something in one direction, you know the mechanics to move it in another direction. So now let's say all of a sudden I realize the error in my ways. All of a sudden, I treat you really well. I'm considerate. I'm thoughtful. I listen to you. When you need me, I'm there for you. When you're struggling, I understand you and I honor you. I put you first. I make you a priority. I know what you need and I go out of my way to get it for you. If I treat you that way consistently, will you start to feel safe around me?
Of course.
Yeah, because I've rebuilt trust. And then you feel safe in your nervous system. So what that's showing is there's a direct mechanical link between care, trust, and safety. And then safety to fear. So in this case, we're in a friend relationship. But is it fair to say you're in a relationship with yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the first relationship you have.
Right. And is it fair to say that you or somebody you know might, that you might not always be a loving, caring friend to yourself? Is that fair?
Say yes.
Yeah. Everybody knows it. The number one thing, oh, I beat the crap. I'm not very nice to myself. People know it. So they know they're not nice to themselves. They know they're afraid and feel unsafe, but nobody was seeing the simple link, just like Florence Nightingale, the simple thing. So there's 28 ways that we need to be loving and caring to ourselves. The average person knows of about four, and the average person only does about two or three, because we're not taught to take care of our nervous system and our feelings and our emotions. But over time, those little daily acts are accumulating 10 to 30 times a day. You are not taking care of yourself and your nervous system. And over time, it has broken trust and you feel unsafe within your own body. The fear is not from the outside world. That'll make it worse. That'll activate. But little acts every day, totally unbeknownst to you, have been accumulating such that you feel unsafe within yourself. So the reason these symptoms go away is because every day you're still doing the thing that's creating the unsafety. Now, the downside is that's what's creating the fear, not your past, not the outside world. That can create some stress, but the fear is because you feel unsafe inside and then the outside world pushes on you and you're not solid. That's the downside. And nobody's seeing it, so they're unknowingly neglecting their nervous system every day. But if the problem is little acts of unhealth accumulating over time, the reason that's good news is because it makes the solution solvable. That's what we do in physical fitness. If you're overweight, it's not because there's something wrong with you. It's because daily you made unhealthy dietary choices and the calories built up. Bad news is you're overweight. Good news is if you want to lose weight, you just a little bit each day go from unhealth to health and it accumulates and you get better. So the reason this isn't too good to be true is because we know if you don't take care of the body, it malfunctions. but it can be repaired by going to health. Just fear is in the body too. So everybody's feeling unsafe because they never knew how to take care of the nervous system in the body. And in 6 weeks, we give you all the tools in one place and all the simple instructions of what to do. And it basically brings your nervous system back to health. When your nervous system is healthy, you get to feel something everybody wants to feel: safe. When you just wake up every morning and your default is safety, so there's basically no fear. Hurricane, I'm asking you and your audience, how much better would your life be?
There is no limit to what level would that be. I mean, that's the ultimate, I guess, quest, right? If we can feel safety on a day-to-day basis, never have to fear anything in our lives. And by the way, you did say something very powerful, like you said, stress. Most people are stressed and anxious because of, as you said, the fear is really what it is. You're afraid of all the circumstances and what can go wrong. Meanwhile, you can just face everything, if you actually have the ultimate level of safety net for your own self and you already got there. So I think it would be the ideal choice for everyone watching or listening and anyone around the world to actually get through the program. Maybe we ought to make it, a mandatory thing at school.
Like I said, that's our goal. I've taught this to 9-year-olds. They teach diet to young people. They teach you got to get enough sleep, you got to brush and floss. A lot of other symptoms were taught maintenance, 8 hours of sleep. It's just the nervous system got ignored. Even though it's got the word nervous right in there, you'd think they would have gone there. So the reason I want to share this with the world, we want to get this into schools. Right now, kids don't know how to regulate their nervous systems. They become anxious. And then the mental health experts come in. They're not experts in mental health. A, it's not even mental, it's body. Secondly, it's too late. It's symptom management at that point. Real mental emotional health was what to do every day, the brushing and flossing of the soul. That's what we teach, a simple daily habit that repairs the nervous system, but a simple daily habit moving forward. People say, do I keep it? Yeah. If you don't brush and floss, you'll need a root canal. Then they repair the root canal with the tools and the steps, but then just brush and floss for maintenance. So after the 6 weeks is over, you're training the daily habit. So for about 3 to 5 minutes a day, you just do maintenance and you feel safe and you're free, man. You're free. And people don't even know what this feels like. I know what it's like. I live this every day. I wish I could give you a sample, like a drug dealer, give you a little sample of what this is like. Most people can't even comprehend because they felt unsafe since childhood. Here's the version of you. There's two groups in this world that I know feel safe and free. The people we work with, probably some other people in the world that have figured it out, and children. Before we get scared, kids, they're courageous. They're open-hearted. They have tons of, you'll never hear a kid say, I'm thinking of finger painting today, but I'm thinking of sabotaging and I have imposter syndrome. You'll never hear a 6-year-old say, I'm thinking of going outside, but I'm really procrastinating. Like, they have tons of energy. They're open-hearted. You ask them what they want. They go, I want to be an astronaut, unicorn, pilot, author. Like, you go, little Jimmy. So that version of you, when you were younger, before the fear robbed you of that open-hearted, confident, energetic, free, spontaneous, that version of you, if you can remember, that version is still in there. It's just covered up by a nervous system that makes you feel unsafe and is covered up by fear. But when I healed my nervous system, the fear went away and I'm basically a 51-year-old, 5-year-old. This enthusiasm, this passion, this excitement, I'm not enlightened, man. I'm just a kid now because my nervous system is calm and I'm free. It's so simple and it works. That's how we back up our results.
I'm listening to you and I'm almost feeling your freedom right there. Because, it's really, catapulted through the screen here to me. But really, you're right. I mean, that's, I think, at the exception of kids, it may be difficult to determine someone who has maybe gone to the program. But really, the kids are the ones that are fearless, notions. I mean, a kid, you put them anywhere, they'll just sing, they'll just dance, they'll just do things, they'll jump all over the place. They can jump off a freaking roof rack and they wouldn't even care. Like, oh, okay, this is, I can fly, I mean, they do it with, there's no feeling about oh my God, all the world, weight on my shoulder and things like that. They're just spontaneous. So you're right. And if we can achieve that level, I wish is not even a good word because now we have a program for this. If we all can go back to that stage of our lives where we were fearless, we had no, there is a degree that we need the concept of fear is one thing, but fearing is another. Meaning, understanding that there is risk of certain, you know, actions is one thing, but it's a calculated risk. In this case, you just are aware. Your body is completely cleansed of that nervous issues. So basically, if you're gonna do something, you're doing it. You know, you do the plus minus. You do your, you know, I guess awareness on things, but you can proceed. You know, like if you go present in stuff, you know, like I'm gonna get deals. I'm not gonna get deals, but I'm not afraid of the outcomes. You know, the bad ones, because I think that's where it is. We are afraid of what can go wrong, and I think that's the way we kind of
just for clarity. And that's how it feels, because if things go south or things don't go well, that'll create a little fear. Change, unknown. Mm-hmm. If you lose money, that'll create a little bit of fear. But the thing with the body is, if it's healthy, it can handle challenge. If mm-hmm. your bones are healthy, you can jump on your bones. They can take pressure, but you don't feel pain. But if your bones are brittle, you jump, you feel pain. Your teeth, if you bite into a carrot, you feel the pressure of the carrot, you don't feel pain. But if you don't take care of your teeth are fragile. So if you need a root canal and you bite into a carrot and you feel pain, you don't go, oh, I've got carrot pain disorder. No, it's not. You don't have a fear of this stuff. Your nervous system is fragile, so that when you're pushed on by a little bit of fear, a little bit of challenge, instead of just feeling it at like 2 out of, I feel some doubt, I feel nervous, I feel some stress. It's like 2 out of 10. For about 5 minutes, because I have a strong system, instead of feeling it at 7 out of 10 for 9 hours. So it's not the outside world that's doing it. It's your system is fragile and can't handle it. And when you have a strong system, you can go out into the world, you can face challenge, you can face adversity, you can face stress, but it's all at a very low level, so it doesn't stop you. That's the freedom. And I want to tell people how to get a hold of us, because speaking of helping people, I got a call with someone who's struggling with crippling anxiety, panic attacks, and low self-confidence, and he wants to work with us. So I got to talk to him in 4 minutes. So I'm going to tell your audience how to get a hold of us. Sound good?
Sounds great, man. You know, I know we exceeded the hour, but it's just so intense. It's beautiful. I could stop.
It's a great conversation. I can tell you're engaged and you're getting it, partly because you're open-minded and also you're in physical fitness. So everything I'm tracking matches physical fitness. We just figured out fear was in the body. So once you figure that out, it all gets a lot simpler, because we know how to optimize the body and create physical fitness. We just created inner fitness. We work with professional athletes who have the physical fitness. Now they have their inner fitness and they're unstoppable, especially when pressure hits. I'm off track. Anyway, back to your audience. So I like things simple. My name's Daniel Packard. Just go to danielpackard.com. And there's two options, both of which you get to talk to me for free. So that's pretty awesome. You get to talk to the Danimal, Delicious D, for free, one half of Delicious Danimal and Hurricane H. That's a callback. And you get to talk to me. You got two options. One is a quick free next steps call. On the next steps call, you tell me what you're struggling with and what you'd like better in your life. And once I know your unique situation, I'll give you some simple, actionable steps that you can take to begin to lower your fear and help with your symptoms. Or if you're listening to this, you're like, Daniel, I don't want to mess around. I want to know about the full program. Go to danielpackard.com. There's info about the program, how it's laid out, the no change, no charge guarantee, the price, which trust me is way less than you think, given what we're getting you. And then if you're interested in the program, book a free quick call with me. We talk. I make sure it's a good fit. If I don't think it's a good fit, I won't offer you the program, because we don't want people to fail, but it almost always is a good fit. If you want to do it, great. If not, don't. We only want to work with motivated people. But again, if you're motivated to be free of this, so you can be finally happy quickly with no risk to try, again, that's the part to pay attention to. We can't fake that. Only ones, if your intuition lets you know that this is different and worth a try, come to the website. If you want to do the program, book a free call with me. And within days, you could be on the trajectory. You've been buying flashlights. We have an escape plan. If you still want to keep putting batteries in a flashlight and learning about the cave that you're stuck in, go do it. If you want to escape the cave quickly, guaranteed, if you want that escape plan instead of a flashlight, we can get you that. Come find us at danielpackard.com. Booyah! How you doing? Mic drop.
Delicious D, man. That was powerful. Yeah, I listen. I mean, I know you got to go. I've enjoyed this hour. I mean, a little bit more than an hour, but it was worth every single minute of it. Every second. I'm gonna champion this with you. I love it. I will actually reach out to my friends about that discussion you shared about somebody challenging it and putting it to test from a clinical, side. If that's something that could work for you, it'd be great. And yes, I will have the link to your site so people can actually connect with you directly. And hopefully there will be more people that actually want to get out of the cave, because I think that is everybody's dream, is to not be in a cave and be free. And that's really the key to everything here in our health and, better being. So Daniel, thank you so much for really joining us today. It was an amazing, and I mean it, discussion, show, and exchange. So we'll stay in touch. And folks, that's it for today. Daniel's got to go, but we'll be talking soon. New day, new show on the topic. Bye for now.